Came this morning, my prayer was that the whole meeting would be as one, and Roy and the worship team, the prophecy. So far, I really feel the meeting has all been in one. Thank you for those people who got in touch with me after speaking last week. That made such a difference, I can tell you. Amazing difference to say that I was okay. Thank you for Richard for filming it. I said to him this morning, I only had one complaint. He ought to have an app to take 40 years off my life. But apparently he hasn't got that. So last week we looked at who is Jesus. And this week we're going to look at who am I in Jesus. I'm going to keep this totally personal. I'm not going to put my hat on your shoulders. I'm going to keep this totally personal. Who am I in Jesus? And we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2. And that we saw on the video. This is written by that man who was killing Christians. That man who was, name of Saul, probably the most intelligent chap in the land at that time, the most rigorous man. And yet he had to come to Jesus. And he wrote this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. At the age of 18, I went to Pershore College of Horticulture. Actually, it wasn't called college, it was called institute. You know, it makes me feel as if I was put away with the cabbages and cauliflowers, you know. At that time, there was two Christian lecturers and one Christian student that were active out of a population of 100. And these three got together and prayed, and they decided to invite an evangelist called Roy Hessian, who had actually retired by then. And Roy came out of retirement and came to the college and spoke to quite a large group of us. And I didn't know that the one Christian student called John Robinson had been praying especially for me. I didn't know that night. And Roy spoke the gospel exceptionally clearly, point by point by point. And as the one thing I can remember, it's a long, long time ago. The one thing I can remember about Roy is as he was speaking, I thought, I can put my trust in this man and what he is saying. What he is saying is the truth. And so at the end of the meeting, I went forward. And it was a conversion very similar of Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus. It was a real total flip round that night. And the prayers of those two lecturers and one Christian were answered, because six of us that night gave our lives to Jesus. Six of us. And so how was Jeff King before that night? Well, if we read this, it says, I was dead in my transgressions and sins. I follow the ways of the world, follow the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that's Satan, followed evil spirits of disobedience. I gratify the cravings of my flesh, followed its desires and thoughts, and by nature deserved God's wrath. I didn't think that at the time. But, you know, if you said that to a humanist, that would they would go totally berserk, because the humanist thinks all humankind is inherently good. But this is the word of God. That's how Jeff King was before that night. When Bet was at college, there was a chap there called Dave Jeffries. Dave had gone through an amazing experience because he was totally addicted to LSD. Is LSD still around as a drug? It is, it is. Just ask. LSD is still around. I didn't know that. LSD had totally damaged his brain. And he'd gone to a place called Northwick Park, a Christian place, and he was totally healed of the addiction to LSD. But when he came to the college, the headmaster said, not the, the principal said, do the course, but don't do the exams at the end of the year because of what had happened. Dave Jeffries not only did the course, but he did the exams, and he was the best student of that year. Isn't that amazing? That healing had gone. But Dave Jeffries had a term which I've never forgot, and he used it very often. It was, without the grace of Jesus and love of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, my only rights in this world was 2 square feet in hell. My only rights, without Jesus, my only right was 2 square feet in hell. And Paul carries on writing, and he uses a 3-letter word. Oh, I'm so glad that he uses this 3-letter word. The 3-letter word is B-U-T, but. Isn't that brilliant? But. So it carries on like this. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow. I'm so glad that that bit's there, that we didn't end up in the previous bit. And so where was Jeff King after that month of May in 1965? It says there, because of his great love for me, he made me alive with Christ, even when I was dead in my transgressions. It was by grace that I was saved, for God the Father raised me up with Christ and seated me with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that he might show the riches of his grace expressed by his kindness to me in Christ Jesus. My salvation was totally a gift from God, given to me by his grace. It was nothing to do with my own doing. Even the faith that night, even the faith that I had to believe that Jesus Christ was Lord, even that faith was given to me by God. Nothing was of my own doing. In my previous life, if I did any good works, if I was ever thinking that those good works were going to earn some kind of salvation, when in those days, it's a long time ago, that was the regular pattern of thought, that if somebody did good works, that all gave them merit to become Christians. What a load of baloney. Did you like that? It was a load of baloney. It says in Isaiah 64, all of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous acts, our self-righteous acts, are like filthy rags. We are all shriveled up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. When it used that word, filthy rags, you'll have to excuse me here, I'm not being crude, but this is the truth. The word filthy rags was the rag a woman would use in her period. That's what it means. And that's how God looks upon our self-righteous acts. We are God's handiwork, created in Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, who is Jeff King in Christ Jesus? Who am I in Christ Jesus? I'm a person saved by faith that is given to me by God the Father and won for me by Jesus on the cross. Right the way through the Bible, God the Father has required repentance to come into his presence. An unrepentant person cannot stand in the presence of God. There must be repentance. In Acts chapter 20, 21, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done, I'm a person whose heart of stone has been turned to a heart of flesh. That's from Ezekiel. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And then at that time, I became what you would call an evangelical Christian. Going to church meant having a black suit and the biggest black Bible you could carry. I've got it at home and need a wheelbarrow now to carry it. Big black Bible. I don't regret those times. I do not regret those times. I do not regret them, because it taught me to love the word. It taught me to pray. So I have nothing against those times. I praise the Lord for them. But then in 1974, the next stage of Jeff King's growth came. Baptism in the Spirit. And that totally changed me. That, again, revolutionized my whole life. And I accepted. I'd had the Holy Spirit living within me all along. But at that stage, I allowed the Holy Spirit to go right the way through me. The black suit was putting me in the cupboard. the big Bible was exchanged for a bit smaller one. Praise the Lord. And it's that gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, John says in chapter 14, if you love me and keep my commands, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you, and will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I love that phrase, that Jesus was not going to leave his church as orphans. There's another amazing verse which only came to me a few years back. You know, you can read the Bible and time again, and then suddenly this verse sticks out. It's in John chapter 14, verse 23. And this is absolutely mind-blowing. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Now listen to this. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. We. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. As we said last week, the Holy Trinity that created the world, the Holy Trinity that's been there eternity backwards and will be there eternity forwards. The Holy Trinity, not just the Holy, will come within me. That I must have me drink. Gluten-free bread makes your mouth dry. It does. Yeah. Sue agrees. Yeah. In worshipping Jesus with our whole body. Now, I don't ask your forgiveness for this on a Sunday morning. I must look like a Dutch windmill. I love to worship Jesus with my whole body. Because the temple of the Holy, in worshipping Jesus with our whole body, we totally acknowledge what he's done for us and totally give glory and praise to him. We express with our tongues, our hearts and our bodies that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. And that's what we did this morning. And not only that, when I came in 1965, when I became a Christian, I was invited to that evangelical church. In fact, it was the church where Roger Spires grew up in Evesham. And I was invited to that church. And I quickly found that I was not an individual. I was part of the body. You know, when Solomon had the temple built, Solomon's temple was built, and it was built to the. It was built without the sound of a chisel, a hammer and chisel. It was built without the sound of sawing of wood. It was all built in total silence, because all the work had been done in the quarry or elsewhere. In fact, you could call it a flat-pack temple. Because it all came ready, prepared. And it all fitted absolutely perfectly together. The first flat-pack temple. But when we come as a body of Christ, we come with all our individual different personalities, with all our different problems. And it's different to Solomon's temple, because in the temple of the church, you can hear the sound of the hammer and the chisel and the saw, because people's lives should be being changed. I sincerely hope since 1965, Jeff King's life has been changed. And I don't know how many sermons I've listened to in that period. I'm having to listen to another one now. But I have been honed and developed to the person I am now. And we are the body of Christ. In Ephesians, carry on, Ephesians chapter 2. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of the household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Now, I just checked this with Roy. Roy is a building surveyor, so he's in the know. Well, we don't have cornerstones. But the cornerstone, when they built a building, the cornerstone was the first stone to be laid. And the whole building was built because of that cornerstone. And if you took that cornerstone out of the building, that building would collapse. Everything relied upon that cornerstone, which is Jesus. In him, the whole building is joined together. This is what it's saying, you see. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. So the Holy Spirit just not only lives in us, but he lives within the temple of his church. I was with a group of Christians this week, and I asked them from all over the place, and I asked them what had happened to their church during COVID. And nearly all of them said the same. Nearly all of them said they'd had a vast amount of people leave the church. Because of COVID, during COVID, the church, we became almost individuals. We weren't functioning as a body. We tried, and lots of individuals have left the church because they had a taste of independence, and they've left. And Beth and I were reading the book of Judges when a scripture hit me between the eyes, and it comes twice in Judges. It comes in chapter 17, and it is the very last verse also in Judges. It's a very simple verse. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. Everyone did as they saw fit. If we remove Jesus as our king, if we take our eyes upon Jesus, it's so easy for us, for me, for anybody, just to go away and do what they see fit. Just to finish with, it's almost like a statement, this is. I believe with all my heart that when any church puts Jesus Christ at its very centre and keeps to the straight and narrow path, not veering to the right or left on the broad road that leads to destruction, that church will truly feel the lifeblood of Jesus and the reality of the Holy Spirit and the true love of the Father flow through its veins. We've got something for you as you leave, because obviously I couldn't this morning deal with the whole of what? A whole lot of who am I in Jesus. But what we've got is a list of scriptures. Who are we in Jesus Christ? And Bet's going to be at the door, and there's enough for everyone to take one home. And what we did last week we went through these scriptures together. Please, please do not read just the verse. Please read right around the verse. Please don't take the individual little slot, because I think you won't get the picture. Read right round each one. And I hope it blesses you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.